Good evening. I am Elder Stephen Mullins of the Sovereign Grace Assembly in Versailles, Indiana, and you are watching the Elder's Corner, a broadcast ministry of Sovereign Grace Assembly. In recent Elder's Corners, I've been doing a little series on the end times, on Revelation, on Jesus' second coming, but we've got a special Sunday coming up this week. And so I wanted to take a break from that, and I'm probably going to take two breaks from the end time study to do a couple of things. Tonight I wanted to share our distinction. We are Sovereign Grace Assembly, a particular Baptist congregation. We are a distinct people. What makes us distinct? Part of what makes us distinct is our leadership. Most contemporary churches are led by a solo pastor. The vast majority of churches in our day designate a search committee, bring in resumes, pour through those resumes, look at qualifications, look at experience, look at education, and then determine the best guy for the job. And then that solo pastor is expected to wear a lot of different hats. That solo pastor is expected to deliver in areas that he may not be gifted in. The distinction with Sovereign Grace Assembly is that we are led by a plurality of elders. That means that the shepherding, the leading of Sovereign Grace Assembly is not confined to just me. The shepherding of Sovereign Grace Assembly is shared by myself, Elder John Willis, and Elder Eric Hampton. This coming week, we will have the privilege and the opportunity to hear from Elder John Willis as he will be delivering this Sunday's sermon from Job chapter 14. You may be asking, you're a Baptist church and you have elders, so what's up with that? Well, up until most of the 19th century, most Baptist churches were led by elders, were led by a plurality of elders. The notion of a solo pastor is a relatively recent phenomenon, and it only really came into practice with the rise of corporations and board of directors and all of that. The reality is, scripturally, the pastor is not a CEO. The pastor is one of a plurality of men who have been set apart by a congregation to shepherd, to lead that group of God's people. I wanted to read to you tonight from Acts chapter 20. Acts, often referred to as the Acts of the Apostles, is a narrative description of those earliest days in our Lord's churches. You'll recall that in Matthew 28, in Mark 16, in the Gospel of John and the Gospel of Luke, we see Jesus' ministry all the way up through the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension. And we have that promise that though he leaves us, he will send another, a paraclete, the Holy Spirit, who will guide us in all truth, who will remind us everything that Jesus taught us. Acts chapter 2, the paraclete has come. The 120 were in the upper room. Just prior to the paraclete coming, they were concerned because they were missing a guy. Judas had taken himself out. They were down to 11. They knew that they needed somebody to replace him, to fill his office. And so what did? They cast lots. But they couldn't just cast lots arbitrarily. They had to have somebody who had been with Jesus, who had walked with them all the way from the baptism of John until the ascension. And so there was two guys that fit that bill. And the lot cast and was laid at Matthias' feet. Matthias was chosen to fill the role that Judas had left. Acts chapter 2 comes, the 120 are in the upper room with the now 12. The doors are locked. A violent rushing wind comes through. Cloven tongues of fire hover over the saints. And miraculously, they begin speaking in other tongues. The people outside, who are gathered from all parts of the Roman Empire, heard the sound. They heard the commotion. They knew that something was up. They knew that something was awry. And they accused the saints of being drunk. Peter said, no, these men are not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Nobody gets drunk this early. And he delivers the gospel message. 3,000 are converted. 3,000 come to Jesus in repentance and faith. 3,000 come to Jesus in confession of their sin, in repentance of their sin, acknowledging Jesus as Lord. You get to the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, and we begin seeing that those earliest churches are now organized. Acts chapter 20, beginning in the 17th verse. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Now I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you the record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they were all sore wept. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. It's clear from Acts chapter 19 that the church of Ephesus was not dependent upon one man. They were not dependent upon a solo pastor. For what does the word say? That he called the elders of the church. He called the elders of that local church in Ephesus to come and comfort him, and that he could comfort them. He needed their support, and they needed his reminders. They needed him to remind them of the things that he had taught them. They needed him to remind them of the grace of God that he had preached. They needed him to remind them that their task was not easy and it was not light. It was a task that no one man could accomplish in his own strength. It was a shared ministry. For what does the Word of God say? Verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. This was one flock of which a plurality of elders was set apart by the Holy Spirit as overseers. Their task was the feeding of the flock. Now there are some traditions that use elders, but they divide the teaching elders from the ruling elders. But we don't see that notion in Scripture. If you are ruling, you are teaching, and if you are teaching, you are ruling. To make a distinction is arbitrary. To make that distinction is not found through clear exegetical study of the Scriptures. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Of your own selves. This wasn't a group of various churches, an association, if you will. This was one local church of which a plurality of elders had been set apart to govern, to oversee, to care for the flock of Jesus Christ. Their task was a shared task. Their ministry was a shared ministry. They were set apart for the governance, for the support, for the overseeing, and for the teaching of the church of God. And that's what makes us at Sovereign Grace Assembly distinct. Sovereign Grace Assembly is not built on me. Sovereign Grace Assembly is not built upon my personality. Sovereign Grace Assembly is built upon this foundation right here. Everything we do, everything that we teach, all of our vision and planning will be run through this filter right here. If it upholds to the test of Scripture, then we will do it. If it does not uphold to the test of Scripture, then we will abandon it. Scripture is our guide. As Baptists, we have historically been a people of the book. We desire our people to be like those Berean Christians that Paul encountered. That Paul, of whom Paul referred to as more noble than others because they did not take what he said at face value, but rather they searched the Scriptures to ensure that what Paul was teaching, what Paul was preaching, lined up with that which the Word of God said. Listen, if a church is built upon a personality, if a church is built upon a family, if a church is built upon a man, that church will fall. It will collapse. It will not stand the test of time. But if a church is built upon the foundation of the Word of God, it will stand. What do we see in the book of the Revelation, chapters 2 and 3? We see seven different churches to whom John is instructed to write. Most of them are doing some things well. Most of them are doing some things very poorly. The Lord Jesus calls them to repentance, calls them to abandon their sin, and says that if they will not choose to abandon their sin, that He will remove their candlestick. Guess what? I believe that the Lord Jesus is using this pandemic that we're experiencing right now, this pandemic that we've been in for the most part of 2020 and still going through in 2021, as a sifting. He is sifting those churches that claim His name, that claim His identity, that claim to stand upon His word. And He is using the pandemic that began in 2001, 2020, and continuing into 2021 as a way to remove a lot of candlesticks. Because let's face it, there are a lot of churches that have abandoned the gospel. There are a lot of so-called churches that have a hatred toward the gospel. There are a lot of churches that have no priority for worship. There are a lot of churches that are not governed by the book, but they're governed by man's ideas and man's notions. What does the Word of God say? Our ways are not His ways. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. His way is not a solo pastor. His way is not one man being asked to do everything in the life of the church, regardless of whether it's his area of giftedness or not. His way is for a church to be governed by a group of elders, by a plurality of elders, who are each gifted uniquely. And when you bring the giftings of each of those elders together, you have a shared ministry grounded upon the Word of God for the feeding of the flock of God through the counsel of God. And so I look forward this year. You know, I've been in pastoral ministry for close to 15 years. Eleven of that was as a solo pastor, in which 50 to 51 weeks out of the year, I was the one bringing the message every single week. But here at Sovereign Grace Assembly, a brand new church plant, not fashioned according to man's ways, not fashioned according to contemporary notions of how church is to be done, but fashioned according to God's Word, I'm only scheduled to preach 44 weeks. Elder John Willis will preach four times this year. Elder Eric Hampton will preach four times this year. I will be out of the pulpit. I will not be delivering the sermon a total of 8 weeks this year, allowing these men to sharpen their skills, allowing these men to utilize their gifts. I am confident that Elder John Willis has given his heart and his time to the message this coming Sunday morning from Job 14. As we finish Job's response to his three friends, Bildad, Eliphaz, and Zophar, I'm confident that we are going to be blessed. Those of us who meet in person, with Sovereign Grace Assembly. I'm confident that any of you who view us online will be blessed through Elder John Willis's sermon this coming Sunday. Because as we preach and as we teach, we're not depending upon our own selves. Yes, we are giving ourselves to careful study, to reflection and meditation upon God's Word. Yes, we are giving ourselves to prayer. But we are relying upon the strength of the Holy Spirit. We're relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to take His Word and to apply it to the hearts of the people. I believe that we at Sovereign Grace Assembly will be blessed in the days ahead as we experience that distinction from the other churches in our area, as we get back to the biblical pattern of churches being led by a group of elders, each who are gifted distinctly, bringing their giftedness together for the glory of God. And I believe that even in the midst of this pandemic, that we at Sovereign Grace Assembly are going to grow. I believe that even in the midst of this pandemic, we're going to see lives changed. I believe even in the midst of this pandemic, that we're going to see families healed, homes restored. I believe that in the midst of this pandemic, when so many other churches are scaling back, or choosing not to meet until further notice, I believe that in the midst of this pandemic, that the Lord is calling out a remnant from amongst the churches of Ripley County and even into Jefferson and Dearborn counties. Calling out a remnant who may have been affiliated with their current churches for years and decades, even though they couldn't quite put their finger on something not being right. I believe that the Lord's going to use this pandemic to call that remnant out of those churches. To recognize that the Bible calls the Lord's people to be a distinct people, a peculiar people, a chosen generation, a holy nation. And I believe they're going to find that distinction with Sovereign Grace Assembly. We're not going to be putting on light shows and smoke shows. We are simply going to be delivering the Word of the living God. That Word which is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide between soul and spirit. Beloved, I welcome you. Check us out Sunday mornings via Facebook Live at 10:30. If you want to join us, we have Sunday school at 9:30. We have worship at 10:30. We have a fellowship meal every single week. If you want to join us live and in person, we also take the Lord's Supper every single time we gather for worship. you want to join us live and in person, please message us, and we will give you directions and location for how you can join us live and in person. If there are reasons that you don't feel comfortable attending a church live and in person during this season, during this pandemic, we totally understand. We don't want to pressure you. But we are on Facebook. Check us out, 10:30 on Sunday mornings. Most weeks I have an Elder's Corner on Monday evening. Every week we have midweek Bible study led by Elder John Willis. It's 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Check us out. Go to our webpage, sovereigngraceassembly.org. You can get a lot of information about us. You'll see that we abide by the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith, also known as the Second London. You'll see that we hold to the five solas in grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, by Scripture alone, for the glory of God alone. You'll see that we participate with Southern Ripley Ministerial Association for the benevolence needs of our community. You'll see that we support Child Evangelism Fellowship led by Bridget Back. It does good news clubs in the schools. You'll see that we support Westport Camp. Visit our webpage. Visit us via Facebook Live. Listen to our sermons. Listen to our Bible studies. If you want to join us for Sunday school right now, we are going through the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith. Elder Eric Hampton is currently teaching. Sunday school is a rotation. 3 weeks on, 3 weeks off. He teaches 3 weeks. I teach 3 weeks. We're currently in Article 8. I believe we just finished Paragraph 4, and we'll be starting Paragraph 5 this coming Sunday. Check us out. See what the difference is. See what makes us a distinct people. See what makes us a people who are striving to give God the glory. Check us out. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we bow before you. We thank you for your goodness, for your grace. Lord, we thank you that it takes each of your people bringing their giftedness to form healthy local churches. Lord, we thank you that in good, strong, vibrant, healthy churches, that you set apart, that you raise up a plurality of elders who are charged with overseeing, watching over, caring for, feeding the flock of God. Lord, we thank you for Sovereign Grace Assembly, a light shining in the darkness of Ripley and Dearborn counties. Lord, it is truly sad how vast a desert southeastern Indiana is with regard to the gospel, with regard to your word. There are a lot of church buildings. There are a lot of congregations that historically stood upon your word, that historically preached the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, but have since abandoned that gospel, have since showed nothing but contempt and hatred toward the gospel, that have since showed utter lack of priority for the worship of the one true and living God. Lord, in that environment, you have raised up Sovereign Grace Assembly, for your glory, to reach the people of Ripley and Dearborn and Jennings and Jefferson counties, for your glory. Lord, you've chosen Sovereign Grace Assembly to reach Versailles and Cross Plains and Osgood and Napoleon and Milan and Batesville for your glory. Lord, in an area where 80% of the homes are lost and unsaved, in an area where 80% of the homes have no clue who you are, have no clue who Jesus is, have no clue what Jesus has done in for them, have no clue that they are lost sinners dying and headed to hell. Lord, we thank you that you've raised us up for such a time as this. To call men, women, and children unto yourself in repentance and faith. Calling them to confess sin, saying the same thing about their sin that you've said about it, and to acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ and Him alone. Lord, we pray for our worship this coming week. Lord, we lift up Elder John Willis as he delivers your word. Lord, hide him behind the cross, that your word would be exalted. In your name we pray. Amen. Beloved, until next time, go and serve your King.